Kankakee Podcast is proudly presented by Pewter Pros, Stitch Prints, and Digital World Design family of businesses, celebrating 25 years of small business ownership in Kankakee County. Learn more at mypewterpros.com, stitchprints.com, and digitalworlddesign.com. Also, you have until the end of this month, March 30th, to take advantage of Pewter Pros' refurbished desktop and laptop sale. $50 off any refurbished laptop or desktop. Desktop in store. So go see Pewter Pros today on Industrial Drive in Bradley before the month is over.
Thankful for the way these stories hold on to the lifetime we won't give back. I know these rivers carry on.
Hello and welcome to Kankakee Podcast, where we talk about the people and places of Kankakee County. I'm Jake Lamore, and before we get to today's episode, let's find out about some events that are happening in the area coming up here soon. First and foremost, there's an Easter egg hunt happening this Sunday, April 1st, for kids with special needs at Northfield Square Mall in the food court. It starts at 10 a.m. Sweet Darren's and Love a Latte is also going to be there, selling sweet treats and drinks. There are two informational forums coming up to learn more about the proposed quarter of a cent sales tax referendum for mental health in Kankakee County. The first one is tomorrow, Tuesday, March 28th, at the Limestone Public Library at 6:30. The second is at the Leo Hassett Community Center on Main Street in Manteno this Friday, March 31st, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. You can follow the Kankakee County for Mental Health Facebook page for more details. This is about the referendum that all Kankakee County residents can vote on coming up on April 4th. And lastly, the Kankakee Community College Foundation is presenting the Magic of Giving fundraiser on Thursday, April 13th at 5 p.m. at the Quality Inn in Bradley. You can buy your tickets at foundation.kcc.edu under the events tab. If you would like your community event to be mentioned here on Kankakee Podcast, email it to Lamore Media, LLC at gmail.com for consideration. Now let's get to our guest. Today is another episode with the Kankakee County Museum. We have Veronica Featherston, the executive director, with us, who hasn't been on the podcast in a while. So welcome back, Veronica.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And we have someone who is currently studying to be a geologist, Abigail Davis.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. It's so great to have you here. Now, if you follow the Kankakee County Museum, you know that Abigail has done two presentations at the Kankakee County Museum on geology, and specifically Kankakee geology. Mm-hmm. So maybe you had the pleasure of seeing Abigail at one of those events, maybe not, or maybe this is going to be a refresher course for you. But regardless, that's what we're going to be talking about today, is the geology of Kankakee. But first, I want to know a little bit more about you.
About
Abigail.
Me? Okay.
Yeah. So just... how you said before we were recording, you want to be a geologist since you were five?
Yeah, I mean, since I was five.
That's so cool. Are you born and originally from the area?
Well, my parents, I grew up a military child, so I lived everywhere. But my parents are from Bolingbrook. So when my dad retired, he moved to Bonfield. And we've been there ever since. So it's been like 6 years now.
That is such a big change, Bolingbrook to Bonfield.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, I lived everywhere. I even lived across the seas in Germany twice. So it's not like that big of a difference.
That's so cool. Well, I mean, I guess I just think of how busy Bolingbroke is compared to Bonfield. It's like night and day comparison.
We like the quiet.
Well, you went to the right place. Bonfield is very quiet. Yeah. It's a very, very nice little town. So you are in your junior year at
North Carolina Central University.
Okay. So when you graduate, you will officially be a geologist, or what will your what is your official degree?
So I'll have a bachelor's of science in geosciences.
Okay.
But I want to be a hydrogeologist, which is a geologist that studies groundwater, trying to find renewable resources for our drinking water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's perfect that I've got the liquid death there for you.
Yeah, good.
So first, let's just briefly, what is geology?
So geology is the study of earth sciences, which is rocks and minerals in the ground and on top of the ground and the processes of how they're formed and transform into other minerals and rocks.
And how does that happen? How does all those...
I could go into that for hours. So you have sediment, which is like basically dirt and sand and gravel or whatnot. And when that sediment compacts and it gets laid down for millions of years, it becomes sedimentary rocks, which is what we have around here. A lot of limestone. We have nothing but limestone around here.
Yes.
So that's how sedimentary rocks are formed. And then the sedimentary rocks, once they erode, they can become metamorphic rocks through heat and pressure, which is like granite and gneiss. It's a rock that looks like it has a million folds in it.
And they call it gneiss?
Yeah, it's called gneiss.
Was that named after someone, or did someone literally just look at it and they're like, that's nice?
It's spelled G-N-E-I-S-S. So you wouldn't think it's pronounced nice, but it's from Scotland. So, I mean, I guess they speak differently.
They do a little bit, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so, of course, volcanoes create rocks, and those rocks are called igneous rocks. So you could have extrusive igneous rocks or intrusive igneous rocks. Extrusive igneous rocks you can see like outside of the volcano through the lava. But when magma inside of the volcano hardens, that becomes an intrusive igneous rock. So that's how those kind of rocks are formed.
And obviously we don't see those around
here.
Definitely not, no. Where is like granite rock?
Well, actually, limestone, once it becomes metamorphized with heat and pressure, it becomes marble. So we could see metamorphic marble, but there are some granite pieces around our state because we had rhyolitic sedimentary stone, and that once that had heat and pressure, that becomes granite. So that's in southern Illinois, though.
Okay. So I guess, let's get into the thick of getting into geology, though, locally. What does our geology look like? Obviously, you briefly mentioned limestone, but how can you tell where all of this comes from?
So limestone is formed from precipitated water secreted by using marine organisms, including algae and coral, with cemented sand and mud. So basically, marine organisms, they secrete calcium carbonate. And when this calcium carbonate goes into the sediment and it becomes compacted into the dirt and mud, it becomes limestone, which is made purely out of calcium carbonate. And then once calcium carbonate has an impurity of magnesium, it becomes a different stone called dolomite, which is what we also have an abundance of around here.
So you're telling me it comes from like fish
and
things like that, like their waste creates this rock.
Basically, yeah. So millions of years ago during, I believe it was the Cenozoic era, but let me triple check real quick. So it was during the Paleozoic era, actually, we were under the sea. So that was 1 to 1.5 million years ago, billion years ago, actually.
And you can tell that just by studying the rock here in Kankakee County.
Yeah.
You can tell that, we were underwater for
millions of years.
And then what happened? How did, do you know, well, I suppose it doesn't tell you when we We're came not out, in, of, came out of the water. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have the Rocky Mountains and the Appalachian Mountains. And when those were forming, they started to cause a rift, which is what brought us below sea level. But once it stopped, the plate tectonics stopped moving, our elevation increased. And this is when we came out of the sea and the seas receded. And then our land was just nothing but a bunch of sand. So when that sand became compacted, that's when it became limestone. So, yeah. But we did have dinosaurs here at one point.
Okay. Do you know, can studying the rocks or the dirt, sand tell you what kind, perhaps?
What kind of animals?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's actually a bunch of fossils. There's a lot of coral fossils around here and trilobites and worm burrows. So you can tell that there was those kind of organisms back in the Paleozoic era around here because we have millions of those fossils. My mom found a trilobite in her backyard, actually.
What is that?
It's that little bug-looking stone. I should have brought it with me, but it looks kind of like a horseshoe crab, but it has ribs. It's basically what it looks like.
Wow. So it sounds like it's a jacked up.
Yeah, jacked up
version.
Little bug.
Have you seen any other interesting fossils like that?
Yeah, I actually found one day I was kayaking in the Kankakee River and I looked down at the sandbar and I found a fossil of reeds from like coral reeds. What's the word? Grass reeds, I guess you could say. Yeah, grass reeds. It was just completely fossilized. And I thought that was just amazing to just look down and find a fossil like that.
Yeah. That is really cool.
Yeah.
What other animals besides, do you know specifically what types of dinosaurs?
No, because, so there's no dinosaur bones found in Illinois because of wind erosion that happened after the Paleozoic era. So our wind was, we have really bad wind now, but back then it was like a million times Hurricane Katrina force winds. So that caused a lot of wind erosion and that ate away at the fossils of the dinosaurs. So there's none exposed here in Illinois, but we know that they were here at one point because the states around us have found dinosaur fossils.
Mm-hmm. And what, so going from there then, knowing that dinosaurs were once here, then where does that take us?
So after that would have been the Mesozoic era. After the Mesozoic era was the Cenozoic era. And that's when glaciers first appeared, the beginning of the last ice age, which we're still in. We're still in an ice age.
Did not know that. Did you know that, Veronica?
I did, but I think only from listening to her.
I had no idea we were still in an ice age.
Yeah, as long as there's glaciers here on Earth, you're technically still in an ice age.
I am going to tote that around everywhere and show that piece of information off and look smart now and be like, you know, we're still in an ice age. People and be like, we are? I'm like, yes. What does the ice age then tell us?
So the ice age, it began after the extinction of the dinosaurs. And this is when the Paleo Indians first began to inhabit the area. And glaciers advanced and retreated periodically over the state. So right now, we would have been underneath a glacier. So these glaciers are kind of like tides. They form more in the winter and they recede in the summer as they melt. And when they do this, it's kind of like pushing something up against a tablecloth. You know how it kind of gets those bumps and those folds? Those are what's called moraines in the dirt. So these moraines held back the glacial meltwater from the receding glaciers. And once this actually happened, a piece of glacier broke off, and that's what formed the Kankakee Torrent. So the Kankakee Torrent is what formed our area today and actually made it as leveled and formed the Kankakee River and the Kankakee Valley. So Kankakee Torrent was, it was water, like tsunami-sized water, 180 feet tall. It was ginormous, and it just flooded the area and created a swamp-like base. And actually, the early settlers that came to Kankakee, they had to dredge out the river because they couldn't get goods across the swamps. So when they dredged out the river, the Kankakee River was able to flow more freely and went out into the Illinois River. So without the Kankakee Torrent, we wouldn't have the Illinois River Basin.
And when, so I'm just picturing in my mind now when some of the early settlers did come, the river was much more shallow.
Yes, it was much more shallow, but it was vast. It was a 250-mile course along northwestern Indiana and northeastern Illinois.
And I know that kind of goes into the Grand Marsh.
Yes, and the Grand Kankakee Marsh. Yeah. So that's what they dredged out to get goods across. And that's what was able to let the Kankakee River flow more freely.
Mm-hmm. So in order to dredge out, is that how they were able to drain like the swamps in the area? Did all the water, did they lead all the water to like the main river stream?
Basically,
is that how they did that?
But since our area is vast with limestone, it's a very durable stone. So they had to physically blast through it with dynamite in order to get it through the barrier and flow into the Kankakee River.
See, I always wondered how they did that mm-hmm. back in that time, because I'm like, they didn't have tractors. What did they do to get through the, you know, the stone and everything?
Yeah, like they used dredging machine on the back of it, like a wooden metal machine, and would dredge out the ground. But they had to use actual dynamite to blast through the limestone.
Man. That's insane. So going from there then, what comes next?
So basically after that, we just formed what we have now. So after the Kankakee Torrent, we had that 250-mile radius of nothing but swamp waters for millions of years. So all of that swamp water, it'll eventually become coal, because coal is an organic material. So it's an organic mineral that is formed from decomposed animals and livestock.
Okay.
Or not livestock, plants.
Wow.
I meant plants.
This is completely, well, not completely off topic, but how does a geode get formed? And there's a lot of those in the area, right? Am I saying that right? Is it geode?
Geode, yeah. But we don't have that many around here. It's formed from percolating water. So it's basically the same way that caves are formed, except there's an excess of mineral impurities and it crystallizes on the inside of the geode.
Okay. I've always wondered how those were, they're made, you know. Wait, really?
Yeah.
So, because I've cracked open rocks as a kid and I've seen, you know, it's been a geode inside, or sometimes there's... Maybe it's not a geode, but it's...
An agate?
Maybe.
Is it pretty on the inside?
Yeah.
Probably an agate.
Okay. And so we have a lot of those.
Yes, we have a lot of agates, also known as chalcedony.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what else have we learned about our area just from studying the rocks and the dirt and everything?
So at the Kankakee River State Park, we have Rock Creek Gorge, which is actually a very fascinating creek. It has one of the only Silurian age caves found in the state, Horse Thief Cave. It's that really big cave underneath the bridge from 102. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
So that is one of the only caves of Silurian age rock in our state.
And what is Silurian age?
So a Silurian age is from the epoch of Silurian. Yes. So it's the Paleozoic epoch. So that is 443 billion years old. Years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. There are no dinosaur fossils found. We talked about some bug fossils you might find here and there. Mm-hmm. What are some other fossils do you know of that have been found in the...
So around here you can find, I have a list of it actually. So you can find limestone, pyrite, shale, clay, chert, jasper, mudstone, coal, coral fossils. And then we have trilobites, ammonoids, and worm burrows. So I actually have a picture of a trilobite. That's what I was talking about.
Oh, wow.
So it does look like a jacked up horseshoe.
It does. Yeah. It looks really cool.
Yeah. So you can find trilobites, ammonoids, and worm burrows, and then coral fossils and reed fossils.
What about marine life?
Marine life. There have been some fish fossils found. I know in Iowa, they found a really giant fish with the fish inside of it. So the fish died after it inhaled another fish, and it just got compacted in the sediment and became a fossil like that.
That's wild.
Yeah, you can find lots of fossils in limestone because it's made out of compacted sand. So anything that died in that sand is probably still there.
So it takes its shape very well then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would, considering it's soft.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. What else is there that's fascinating about studying the dirt and the rocks and the sand?
So actually, at Rock Creek Gorge, there is a clay sink. So a sink is basically a cavity that is just filled with something. So it was a cavity that got filled with clay. And this sink is actually a groundwater spring. So it has fresh groundwater that you can drink out of. And I actually collected a whole entire mason jar out of it. And then back in the Iron Age, somebody put a iron spigot in one of these clay sinks, and that's where they got their drinking water from. And it's also believed that the Paleo Indians used these clay sinks to make their pottery and their weapons and stuff.
There's probably been other springs like this discovered in the area.
Oh, definitely. But these springs, they can die out because the groundwater got plugged or the clay sink filled with more clay and it just wasn't able to break through anymore. So that's when water always has an output. So it always creates a new output. Yeah.
Okay.
And the waterfall at Rock Creek Gorge actually migrates. Waterfalls move.
Yeah. I mean, right. Obviously, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But the physical location of the waterfall.
The physical location.
Yeah. It moves. So it was actually 0.75 miles up downstream from where it is today.
So how does it move?
It's called from a process called downcutting. So water always needs an output, and the elevation of the Kankakee River is much lower than that of Rock Creek Gorge. So what it's trying to do is downcut, trying to make itself level with the river so that way it has an easier outflow. So in order to do this, it erodes the rock underneath it and has plunges. So at the bottom of the waterfall, you can see two deep plunges that are at least 8 feet deep. And that's from the water eroding and weathering the limestone bedrock that's underneath it. And this erosion allows it to migrate up north every couple thousand years.
So, I mean, obviously, we can't even see how it's moving. It's literally moving so slow.
We won't be able to see it in our lifetime, no.
Yeah.
But it's traveled 0.75 miles in the last 12,000 years.
Okay. Well, okay. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Slowly but surely.
Yeah,
it's getting there.
It's getting there. What else have you found from studying the geology here in the Kankakee area?
Just a bunch of limestone.
Must be why there's a town called Limestone.
Yes, actually.
Yeah, shout out to our intern, Colin. He lives in Limestone. So
fascinating place.
Yeah, it is. I'm very fascinated by all this. Believe me, that's really cool. So, yeah, you've got almost just a year left.
Yeah, I actually graduate May of 2024.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also on the side of that, though, you're looking to help people find water resources, right?
Yes, because we're running out of our fresh drinking water sources. Reservoirs are running out. The one in, I believe it's in New Mexico, is almost completely gone. And compared to 5 years ago when it was completely full, it's just crazy to think that we're running out of that much water, but nobody realizes it. We just use water and we think, oh, they're just going to purify it again and we'll be able to drink it again, but that's not the case.
How many times can you purify water? Just once?
Yeah, basically just once, but it takes more water to purify water than it does to just pick up wastewater. And
so, like, if you've got a gallon of dirt, let's just say dirty water or contaminated water, you're only going to get what?
Probably a quarter of it.
A quarter?
Yeah.
Wow. So not even a half or three quarters.
I mean, unless you do it with boiling it and cheesecloth, basically, you're still going to get a little bit of dirty water.
Yeah.
So, but it takes a lot of water to power the machines in order to purify the water. And limestone is actually the quarry that we have with Aqua of Illinois. They use a limestone quarry that was filled in. They use that to purify the water.
You can use limestone to do that?
Yes, it's a filtration rock.
Okay. So it still serves so many purposes.
Yes. Limestone, it may look boring, but it's actually extremely fascinating.
Yeah, it is very fascinating. I mean, it does beautify the area as well, though, but it's nice to know that it serves more of a purpose than, you know, I had no idea limestone did that.
One of my favorite things about limestone is that when you take hydrochloric acid, which is also muriatic acid, it completely dissolves it. Like, it just eats it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess that kind of branches off, obviously, specifically talking about geology and Kankakee, but how does one find new water resources?
We have to drill down, and so they're called borehole logs. So we have to drill down every so feet and drill down deeper and deeper every of all of these feet to find these reservoirs, because underneath our ground, there's water reservoirs. And actually, in Brazil, they have a town where the well, you can see where the well first started to where it is compared today, and it's like 18 feet high. So there's that big of a difference from the last 100 years that they've used this well, and it's drying out the well underneath their feet, and their town is literally sinking underneath them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just because there's nothing holding up.
Holding up the city anymore.
Yeah.
Because all of the water is draining, so all of the bedrock is sinking as well.
I had no idea that was a thing either.
Yeah. Wells run out, and when they run out, we start to sink. Because water, it needs to go somewhere, but if it's taking out, being taken out, there's nothing left to fill in there.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine there's got to be some type of tools that you use to see if there's a reservoir.
Yeah.
So you know, like, okay, we are going to try to dig here, or, you know, to know if it's even worth it to try and dig there.
Yeah, it takes a lot of research and a lot of digging and drilling, a lot of drilling. Okay. I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose of finding new water because it takes water to drill to find water.
Well, of course it does. Yeah, right? Because you got to keep the drill
running
cool. And yeah.
Yeah.
Because don't you usually, you're pouring water on the
stone.
The stone or the drill bit, however that works, to keep it cool because it gets really hot.
Yeah, you'll break your drill bits real fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So is that something that you're getting trained to do too? Or?
I'm hoping. So my school doesn't offer a hydrogeology class, but they offer extension classes with other colleges. So I'm trying to get in contact with one of these colleges to like be like, hey, let me take a hydrogeology class because I like really want to.
I would imagine this day and age, there's some other ways or new ways being researched right now to get water, whether instead of doing it the old-fashioned way, like drilling,
so
what are some other...
Hydrogeology is actually extremely new science. There's not that many hydrogeologists out there. It first began in Portland, Oregon, and I think it was about maybe a decade ago, or not a decade, sorry, 100 years ago.
Okay.
That's not a decade, but that's a century.
That's a century, yeah.
Yeah. It started in the late 1800s, I believe. That's when hydrogeology was discovered. So since then, we haven't had, I mean, we've had a lot of technology advances, but not in the geosciences field.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Awesome. Well, Abigail, this has been a pleasure.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for giving us a little rundown on the geology of Kankakee. And Veronica, I didn't forget you. We got to talk about the upcoming events at the Kankakee County Museum. There's always something going on. Is the book club for kids is still going on,
yes.
Right? That continues.
It is. Through April.
Yes. Yeah, so you've got, it's just one more session then? Or is,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yes, we have a lot of exciting things happening. The French Heritage Museum opens on Saturday, April 1st. We did change our hours this year to 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And to celebrate the opening day on the 1st, we have Brewhead's Espresso joining us from 10 to 12.
That's some good coffee. I've had that
so
at Oktoberfest.
Get some.
Yeah.
And then coming up on the 22nd, we have our last of the season Children's Book Club. We figured January through April was a good time because kids aren't outside running around.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That's the last chance for this year, but it's been going great, so join us for that if you've got a kid interested in the Dear America book series. And then also on the 22nd, we have a Postcard Making 101 class with local author Melanie Holmes. And you can register for that on our website, KankakeeCountyMuseum.com. And then we have an exciting month in May as well. We are celebrating Victory in Europe Day this year at the French Heritage Museum on Saturday, May 13th at 12:30. One of our volunteers and historians, Max Michaels, is providing a presentation based on his family's experiences during World War II.
Is May 13th the actual day?
No, too? I want to say it's the 8th or 9th.
Okay.
But it's earlier in the week, which we're not open. So.
Right. Obviously. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Just thinking about that.
Yeah. We tried to,
put it
around the
date. Yeah, well, of course. Yeah.
But yes. And so we're excited about that. I personally love studying World War II. So.
I know. That's one of your favorites.
Yes.
So I've always
I'm
enjoyed
very excited
that, too.
For
and there's a lot of World War II memorabilia. I shouldn't say that. Artifacts. Yes. Excuse me. Memorabilia.
In fact, we just put more on display in the museum.
Oh, that's exciting.
So come check it out. Yeah. We've been adding things to our exhibit space. So
sweet.
Always something new to see.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And then, of course, our annual Rhubarb Festival is Sunday, May 21st from 10 to 4. Whoop, whoop. And yes, we're very excited because this year we've got a great entertainment lineup. And at 10:30, an organization called the Rolling Thunder is joining us to celebrate three Vietnam soldiers who were missing in action from this area. And we'll be dedicating a part of our post-World War II exhibit to those three gentlemen. So that will be
great.
Exciting, too.
Oh, so it'll be an extra special
yes.
year.
Looking
are you going
to
have Abigail, that's what you did last year. I think you were one of the
yes.
reenactors.
Yes,
right?
And I'll be reenacting
again
as Suzanne Small.
Okay. I was trying to remember if it was one of the Smalls or someone else. I should have figured it was one of the Smalls since it's on the Smalls' former property. So
yes, we've got
cool.
the Smalls joining us, and we have Marms in the schoolhouse, so.
Oh, yeah.
Got some living history as well.
Cool. And, yeah, there's the car show attached
yes.
with a...
Yep, we yeah. started that last year.
And then you did take, like, pre-orders for rhubarb
We do,
pies.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Because it's something I want to note is because those sell out really quickly.
They do.
So if you want to, like,
take advantage of the pre-order option.
Yeah,
because yes.
then all you got to do is just... pick them up. You
yep.
don't have to worry about, oh, is there going to be any left by the time I get there?
Yes.
Because
exactly.
every year you sell out,
we
right?
We sell out by like noon every year. Yeah.
Yeah. And then what? It opens at 10?
Yep. Yep.
So.
People come
very
and they get it.
Last year.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good pie.
Yes, absolutely. You can order ahead of time on our website. So.
Is it Bennett Curtis doing the pies
yes.
again?
Yes. Bennett
okay.
Curtis is awesome.
Yes.
They do the pies and they are also a vendor at the fair. So
yes.
You reminded me too, we have a pie eating contest that
oh, yeah.
we started last year.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yes. This year we did add a small fee to it, but that's because we wanted the winner to receive a small prize.
They didn't receive so anything last year?
They received bragging rights and an apron.
Okay.
A Rhubarb Festival mm-hmm. apron. So we would like to add a more appealing prize. So.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Well, Veronica and Abigail, this was a lot of fun. And thank you so much again for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
That does it for this episode of Kankakee Podcast. I'm Jake Lamore. Thank you so much for listening. Kankakee Podcast is proudly presented by Pewter Pros, Stitch Prints, and Digital World Design family of businesses, celebrating 25 years of small business ownership in Kankakee County. You can learn more at mypewterpros.com, stitchprints.com, and digitalworlddesign.com. Don't forget about the refurbished sale that Pewter Pros has going on until the end of this month in March. You can get $50 off any refurbished laptop or desktop in store. So take advantage of that. See them on Industrial Drive in Bradley. Also, a special thank you to our patrons for helping make this episode possible, including Don Geisinger, Diana Crowley, Joseph Lamont, Bill Parakis of Meineke Car Care Center, Lori Krayoch, Karen Bishop, SLS Home Inspections, Seth and Mary Berkey, Jake Lee, Jesse Arsenault, Dave Barron, Veronica Featherston, John Sullivan, Sue Hornung, Samantha Rocknowski, Lake Iverson, Travis Garcia, Jane Bostwick, Dawn Harrison, Simon Topless, Scott Wright, Carrie O'Connell, Jamie Race, Joanne Berry, Anthony Vicelli, Eric Olson, Nolan Bukowski, Natalie Flagel, Carl Erps, Jeff and Rosa Carroll, Teague Dreenan, Sandy and Steve Twaite, and Rose Lucky. To become a podcast patron, go to kankakeepodcast.com, then click on the Patron tab. If you pledge $5 or more per month, you'll also hear your name announced on an episode of the podcast. Additional editing to this episode was provided by our intern, Colin Furrow, and our theme song was written and performed by Lupe Carroll, recorded by Daniel Bishop.
This river carries on.